Woo, good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Rawls Ivy. And this is my second hour of talking. I'm enjoying talking to all these artists. So, I got the fabulous Jenny Nelson and Dexter Singleton. Y'all know the Collective Consciousness Theater. And they've got a new play that they are about to turn loose on the community. I think what in a couple in a few days. In a few days. Unmute yourselves so y'all so we can get into this. So it's called the Black. The Black Book, the
Yeah,
Black
Black
Box.
Book. Yep.
Tell me about this. What is this? And here comes the star now, Austin Dean Ashford.
Yep.
So tell me about this play, Dexter.
Yeah, so Black Book is a play that Austin, created from his multifaceted ability as an artist. When we first started this project, it was in 2018,
Ooh.
and Austin was still a student at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I was asked to, for the first time, to come to Arkansas to help him develop, and asked to also direct this play that was being workshopped at a festival. At Theater Squared as part of the Arkansas New Play Festival. And at the time when I went down and met him and we started working together, Austin only had five or six pages. And he's like, this is the start of my play. And I first day I said, hey,
Okay.
this is great, man, but this is not a play. This is maybe a story, but it's not quite a play. And we need a few more pages than this. And we were contracted to do a reading of the play, a stage reading in front of an audience at the end of it was a 2-week, workshop process in which we were developing this play and I was directing Austin in it. And we got five, six pages, and we're like, we got five days, and we got to do this in front of an audience. We might just have to go to plan B, right? Already on first day, I was saying we might have to go to plan B. And plan B is just get enough pages to be able to perform this one day. And Austin said to me, he said, Dexter, I'm gonna get the pages and we're gonna do the show this weekend. And I said, well, okay, the challenge is on, then let's get it done. And I'm there with you. And if you say that as an artist and I'm working with you, and then hey, let's go for it. Let's do it and let's make that our goal. And for sure, he was able to get those pages. And every day he would come in, we'd be working all day in rehearsal, right? Professional work process. So you're working all day and we work all day, 6 hours in the rehearsal hall, and then working on the five pages he had. And then the next day he came back with 10 or 15 more pages. And I said, you wrote these pages last night after rehearsal? And he says, yeah, I went home and I stayed up all night and I wrote the pages. So I said, okay. And then every day he did that. Every single day he came back with another 10 or 15 pages. And he did that for, 5, 6 days consecutively. And myself, the dramaturg that we had working on it, and Austin, we crafted it and worked on it and, shaped it. And then after those 2 weeks, we had this play that was titled Black Book. And from there, with it, we performed it in those two readings. And then I was asked to come back to the university, which was then his, that was his third year of his program. He was getting, trying to obtain his MFA in the acting program, dual acting and playwriting. And I came back that fall, directed it for his thesis, his master's thesis. That went well. We won a competition. It's called the American College Theater Festival. A lot of theater artists know that. A lot of people know it as ACTF. It's a big national regional competition. So we won that. Then we went to the Nationals and we swept that as well. So took a bunch of regional awards, won a few national awards. Austin was able to go to the Kennedy Center where he was able to do excerpts from that. And that was a couple months process. And that was really kind of the start of it in 2018. And then the goal was to then work on it again one day at Collective Consciousness. So we scheduled it for 2020. And it was
Oh, in the
to be the
pandemic.
show after Skeleton Crew. And it was supposed to close the season after Skeleton Crew. And of course, we know, right, the year of the plague that we Started, we did 1 week of Skeleton Crew. It only played that 1 week, closed at the end of that 1 week. We never got the other 2 weeks in. And then, of course, our appearance and our residency with Austin was completely canceled. So then, since then, in these subsequent years, we've been looking for an opportunity to bring it back, and this was the right time. And now Austin is a professional artist, obtained his MFA. Now he can tell you more. He's seeking now his PhD from Texas Tech University, and so he can, you know, share a little bit of that with you. But that's the story of how we got from the beginning of Black Book to where we are today, and it's exciting to be able to come back with it and be back in the rehearsal again these last couple of days, and we're excited to show people, you know, what we have over these next 3 weeks.
Wow, that's a story. Hey, Austin Dean Ashford, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing good. How y'all doing this morning, East Coast?
Listen, so I'm on your site and I see it, the synopsis, the little piece about what this is, the Black Book. Mm-hmm. And it says, welcome to Melvin Tolson High School. It's summer school. It's hot. The barbed wire fence is fixed. And the young African-American boy has been shot, leaving his group of friends reeling from the loss and wondering if their voices can ever be heard. Enter a former great debater to teach a master class on public speaking and challenge this group of boys to speak out and give voice to their hopes and fears. Filled with pressing issues, inspiring characters, and graced with comic flourishes, this one-person dramedy debates what happens to young minds when our educational spaces begin to resemble a prison more than a school and a place to learn and grow. That is amazing. And so when I first saw this, when I was first reading this, I was like, is this going to be a prison play? Because I'm not in the mood for a prison play. I was like, is this going to be about kids going to prison? And then I read more into it and I was like, oh, I see. And I love the fact that you had a great debater in there, because some of that is kind of lost in our imaginations of reality now, right? Like, people don't think about debaters and debating. We have rap artists and we have poetry slams, but debate seems to be, you know, a long lost art. So Austin, what's your story? What's the story behind this?
What is the story behind this? All right, grab your coffee because we're about to go in. The story behind this show is I'm really doing some Afrofuturism by blending in parts of my story, but also speculating new histories of Blackness. And the reason I say this is I was an actual speech and debate kid. Did it in high school for 4 years. It's what got me scholarships to college. Compete at college. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Great Debaters.
Yes, I did debate in college, so I understand exactly.
Wait. Hold on. Slow down.
I'm like your mama's age, so I'm old.
Wait, what events did you do? Because you know, I know what's going on under there. What do you mean you did it?
I've done debate. I was on that circuit for a minute when I was back in the early days of the early 1900s. So, but we're talking about
No. Okay. Hey, oh, because you know, I want to ask, right, what circuit? Cedar Circuit, Pi Cap Circuit, and things like I know what you're talking about. Look, we can get in there. Yeah. So you also know that. So I did speech and debate for a really, really long time. In high school, I was fortunate enough to learn from one of the best Black high school coaches of all time. He's a MacArthur Genius Award winner, Oprah Award winner, around the entire circuit. Then I was able to go to Wiley College from the movie The Great Debaters, yeah, which is produced by Oprah. Denzel directed and starred in it. So unfortunately, the movie had the Black school from 1925 to 1935. They said that they beat Harvard in the film. Unfortunately, don't tell on me, it was fabricated. In real life, we went against USC and we lost.
Okay.
And there used to be tournaments that they didn't let Wiley College compete at simply because they were Black. But what Denzel did after the movie came out in 2007, he put down $1 million to revamp the team. I was able to be one of the students who came on a full ride scholarship when they revamped the team. And I was fortunate enough to break the record, and I won 21 national championships in collegiate speech and debate from a historical Black college university.
I love so it.
Thank you. I was a little hurt because I really wanted to beat Michael Phelps, but I was too shy. I was like, I don't want to get more. sometimes you got to be humbled, you know. But that cool thing about that, it brought Denzel to the school. So he was shooting, I think it was Magnificent Seven or something like that. So he's already in New Orleans. He's like, how far is the school? Like that? Where Washington? Come see us. So he comes down. I get to perform for Denzel Washington, and he cries during my performance. And he's like, yo, you need to take what you do around the world like this. And before that, I'd never seen a play nor been in one. I was just a speech and debate person. I didn't know what's going on. So then I eventually get to go to the University of Arkansas, which is very interesting because I got rejected from so many places. I had to beg them to let me into the school. They let me into the school. And I'm doing a playwriting and I'm doing an acting track. And Denzel Washington goes back to Wiley College. And I'm in the back of the room just watching as an alumni. And he sees me in the back of the room. He's like, come up here. And I'm like, what? So in this big old room, he pulls me to the front and he asks me to speak on his behalf when he donates another $1 million. And the cool thing is I have that actual experience on film. So I'm not lying. I'm not capping. I can show you the video footage. It's real. And I decided to say, you know, this experience matters so much. I think this is worthy of theater. I think it's worthy of being a play. So for me, it was such a beautiful process because my theater background isn't very heavy, but I've been gifted in a lot of multiple places. I'm an international world champ from Brave New Voice at Youth Speaks HBO. I do music. I work the U.S. Embassy. I teach hip hop in Ecuador and Colombia and Scotland. I'm Latin Grammy nominated for music. But theater is different because how do you mix all of that stuff together to have a clear, concise story with characters? So that's why I was so excited to work with Dexter, because Dexter's also the first time I've been able to intimately work with a Black director, first one I've ever had in my life. And he has an extensive history and career in solo person shows. So some things that I'm trying to understand, he only understands the language of something that I can do that somebody else doesn't have all of those multiple capabilities. So when he was helping me shape the play and really let me show what really matters in the story, saying, okay, Austin, I know this is your life experience. I know this is a speculation. We only have 80 minutes. So that's kind of been the process of putting all of this together. I'm really happy to be here because I've always expressed to Dexter how much I've always wanted to come here, and I've always wanted to have the time to just work with him outside of a school setting. And I've never been able to have that opportunity. So for me, this is so much in develop. You know, if I could be here for like 2 months or a month, I would to get it in how I really want to get it in. we're having a great time. I'm discovering a whole lot of things. I've been a crazy person talking to walls. And what I think the thing that has me so excited about this theater compared to the other theaters I've worked in is the mission statement about social justice theater. Like right now I'm getting my PhD in interdisciplinary fine arts. Not to just anybody who's into education, but it's like, so what if you're not actually doing anything in practice, right? Like, books are cool, but if you're not doing anything in practice, what does it all mean? And I really find a tough time of like, what is it to have escapism theater or to have theater that brings a conversation that's actually going on? So when I think of one of the grander questions of the play that Dexter has a great time of reminding me is, if we're speculating, what does it mean for teachers to really have guns in the classroom? Because that's not a crazy idea anymore. It's already happening like in Tennessee. And it's happening more and more and often. What are we gonna do when there's possible biases and maybe an accident? I've seen somebody actually do something like, you know, might be an actual legit accident. How does everybody respond when that happens? Because I don't think we really understand how to respond and how to give students tools. And these aren't things that I think we're in a space where we could feel. Some things in this life, you try to, I'm ignore, it's not happening to me immediately, so I don't have to think about it. But this is really touching everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that schools used to be the safe space. You might have to worry what might happen on your way home from school, but you think the actual school there is safe. So we have to, I think this is also bringing a lot of things to me that I've even had to think deeper about asking the questions, you know? So I'm having a lot of fun with the process. I'm sorry if that was a long response. I'm just
no, it's fine. It's fine. So Dexter and Jenny. So Dexter, you knew once you got this play gathered that this was something you wanted, that you thought would add to the collective consciousness theater repertoire.
Yeah. I mean, it's a revisit for us to education, which we haven't covered in a couple of seasons in our work. You know, that it, you know, it's looking at, you know, the education of, you know, particularly young Black boys, young Black males in school system, right? Examining that, you know, school to prison pipeline, looking at Black joy. But overall, one thing that was exciting about it is that the play is really a love letter to speech and debate. And it's a, and like you mentioned earlier, it's this part of Black history that's not always talked about, you know, and there are a lot of Black people who participated in speech and debate through college, high school, you know, other ways, that shaped a lot of, you know, Black Americans. And I think it's something that, needs more, you know, needs more shine. And I love that about it, right? There's a lot of plays out there that are good and a lot of plays that are about very similar things, right? So very similar issues. But something like this about speech and debate, it's rare. You know, how many plays out there can you say that are about this? You know, not that many, you know, if any at all. So I love it for that. But particularly Black joy, and the play is about, you know, mentorship, you know, Black males mentoring other Black males, right? And which is important, is that this is a character who goes back, you know, and to go back after they graduated and try to teach and mentor to these kids. And, you know, he's trying to teach them something, but in the process of this, you know, class and this program, he learns a lot from them that he didn't think that he was going to get in that experience. And so I love that. And we don't see enough plays about, you know, Black mentorship and the need for us to pull each other up.
So is this a one man show, or there is a full on cast with this?
It's a one person show. Austin plays every single character. And Austin, how many characters do you play in the show?
I said 13, but it's actually about 15. Turning to 15 different people.
So Dexter, y'all low on money. What's happening? You can't get 12 other characters to go with this brother.
So this is what is amazing about Austin. You know, Austin is a solo performer, so he has other solo work as well, right? That he tours and stuff. And you know, in our early years, like Austin had mentioned, right? And we know the history. I had a show that I did for years in those early years that was called Little Brother. That's called Little Brother, right? That I did for nearly a decade, toured it around the country, all throughout New England and Connecticut. And so it also brings me a little bit back to my roots. And we had, you know, with Aaron Jaffaris, myself, a few other actors, we used to have more solo work that was part of Collective Consciousness repertoire. And I don't know, other than those early shows, this is the first time I think that we've done, you know, and also we're doing Terrence's show as well, Terrence Riggins, right, and his show Unbecoming Tragedy. But these are the only two solo shows we've done in a lot of years. So it kind of brings us back to our roots as well. And I love solo work in that sense where it's tour de force. You know, and to be able to be one actor up there and play all those roles, it's a challenge in it like no other. I think there's a certain, when an actor does a solo work, you cross over into a different level of acting. Because there's a lot of actors who, no matter how great some actors are, there's a lot of great ones that can't do what Austin is doing.
You'd be surprised.
You know, some real award winners, they can't stand up there on stage by themselves.
So Jenny, what's your role in this time? You're not directing, so you get to be in another part of the collective consciousness world.
Yeah, you know, that's where so honored to be working with Austin. And you know, Dexter and I are a team. And this one is so clearly, this is, you know, Dexter at the helm directing and working with this exceptional artist. We're so excited. And it really does, you know, like Dexter was talking about Little Brother and our one person shows, you know, it goes back to our roots of incubating and working with artists, right? Really starting with original work, much like, you know, we were referencing Terrence, you know, working with him on his show that now will be in the 60th season of Long Wharf and really supporting artists. And I think what's great about kind of the inception of CCT and when Dexter started the company was it's not about waiting around for somebody to produce your work, right? It's just to produce the work and to get it out there, to work with a collective of artists, to work with someone as extraordinary as Austin, and to just support them. If you have five or six pages, we're ready to go, right? We want to help you and support you in that art. And that's really part of the foundation of CCT is just to incubate this new art and bring it to New Haven, one of the best cities in the world. So really excited for this piece.
Okay. So Austin, you're doing this one man play. You got 88 minutes or is it still 88 minutes, Dexter? Or you put some more time to it?
We took a little bit of time away. So we probably about 70, 75 minutes. Because I feel like the sweet spot for solo performance, because you're up there by yourself, you're working your tail off. I feel like the sweet spot is about 80 minutes max, you know?
Okay.
And so that's what we're trying to keep it under 80 minutes. So we'll see where we get to.
Okay. So Austin, you're doing this play. It's you on stage doing all these parts. How do you prepare for this? Like, this got to be exhausting because it's you. Like, you have to play all these parts and you can't miss a beat and you have to be standing up for all this time. Like, how do you prepare for this?
I think these are the moments I really appreciate my folks making me an athlete first. And I think that's because it allows me to look at, yes, Dexter is the director, but I get to look at him as more so coach.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it is called rehearsal, but I get to look at it as practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that also makes me think of me as my body, like, man, what am I eating? Because I can't just, you know, that when I was in rehearsal with Dexter, I was like, yo, I like, there's jokes about heat, but I'm sweating because I'm doing physical like work and regimen. So I literally have to like go to the gym for the length that I would be in the play just to make sure my endurance is good. Because just because I'm at the 45 mark or the 30 mark, I can't be so tired that it's not the same thing you're getting in the first 5 to 10 mm-hmm. minutes. And I mean, no offense to the audience, but they don't care that you're tired. They want consistency, you know, and they want polish. So I have to make sure that, I stretch a lot. I do, you know, the things that you kind of like learn in school and training. I do like the weird breathing exercises that everybody think is weird. I do the weird like tongue twisters that are weird. Dexter was giving me some good enunciation articulation. So I was like, oh, I got to go back to square one, putting a pen in my mouth and talking and making sure I'm articulating. So that's why when I'm in the room by myself, I'm really all the training I've ever been taught, really going through all of the exercises slowly to prepare my body. I look over the script and the notes that I get with Dexter. If it was film, a game's over, I'm taking a bath or a shower, I'm like, okay, so at this moment, I need to look at this or that moment, I need to look at that. And I think the times outside of rehearsal or practice, I try not to let it be intense, but I just let it be like reminders to let it be absorbed. Reminders and take it in and absorb. Reminders and take it in and absorb. And the thing that keeps me, I think, so into it is, I think Dexter is, I just haven't had as much time with him as much as I want to. So the way that he's bringing the perspective back into this, because this is going to sound bad. As a Black man dealing with some of these topics, they occur so much, you can sometimes have a numbness to it and forget the density of what's actually going on, because sometimes it almost just becomes a talking point, that I really appreciate the reminder that these are real people's lives and real situations that really change someone for their entire lifetime that they'll never get back. So sometimes, because a part's like a poem where I'm switching characters, I'm just thinking of the mechanics of doing it. And I need to be reminded that it is a real conversation, a real thing being said, somebody really absorbing it. So that's an entire process of me also just taking again and just also diving in back to the, why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why does this play matter? What do I really want an audience member to be able to leave with? So I think it's all of those cylinders that I'm trying to prepare myself for at the same time. But for me, it's kind of like a big game or a big fight. You know, it's Mike Tyson. The thing that I really feel about plays and one person shows, I think is unfortunate. People are like, oh, how are you doing all that by yourself? I'm not by myself. You're an audience member. You're my scene partner. for the 80 minutes. I'm talking to you. You know, the way that you respond, I'm responding. You're who I'm working with. You're my scene partner. It's just not, you don't have the luxury of being a fourth. There ain't no four. We talking. So it's also for me being able to prepare and take that in and being open that it could be different at any moment, because this play does have interactive moments. So there may be, you know, there may be a moment where you're sitting, oh man, he's just sitting there. It's like, no, I came down to this stage. I'm talking to you. And if you just look around, I'll say, we'll wait. What do you think about this? I want to hear what you think. Okay, let's go back in, because I also think that it's important to be able to give people an opportunity to be active audience members. I think I understand Broadway is an important thing and I love it. And me and Dex, we gonna get there. Yeah, I'm talking about trash. We gonna get there, okay? But I think the unfortunate thing is it became a real like, sit down, don't say anything, be quiet. You know, if it laugh at laugh track, be quiet at this moment. And that's kind of the experience. Then no. I'm really trying to go to the essence of Black theater, Afrofuturism theater. I want you to engage. I want you to talk. I want you to talk to the person next to you. I want you to be able to engage so you feel like you are part of the experience in an active way, not a passive way. So also preparing for that is also, you know, I got to listen to the good stand-ups from the old times, you know, what comics were doing, staying connected, make
well,
sure
you know,
I'm laughing.
That very experience, Austin, is what Tyler Perry tapped into with his touring plays, you know, the Madea story, and that whole audience talk back. But it's not just him. It was a bunch of folks who were doing that, you know, on the Chitlin circuit before Tyler Perry, but he's probably the most famous at it, the most lucrative at it, where it's so much so that when people go to Broadway shows, like you go see a August Wilson play and Denzel's in it, you know, that it's not welcome to be talking to the character, you know, or Death of the Salesman with the brother that was in it, and people felt like they could speak to him on stage, you know, an exchange, and you know, he had to stop the play and say, listen, I get it, but this is not this kind of play. Like, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I also know there's a whole other dynamic too to theater and the engagement part. So
I think that's why we're lucky at CCT over these last, I think we're going into our ninth season. Is that right? Oh my goodness.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Our audiences feel comfortable, right? They feel like they can express.
Oh, I've gasped in right? their theater a couple of times. Like,
I know you have. I've heard it. and they can interact, right? I feel like we've really, over these years, created a safe, brave space and a place where people can react, right? And can talk to the person next to them. And one time I was sitting and watching one of the Passover, when I directed Passover, and I was sitting next to a patron, just quietly watching as an audience member. And somehow he knew I was the director, and he leans over to me and he goes, "Did you direct this?" And I said, "I did." And he goes, "This is really good."
This is what I do.
Let's watch. He's like, "How did you?" And he wanted to like engage with me. And it was so wonderful. I wasn't upset. I was like, "This is great. Like, this is what we want." I'm like, "Let's watch. And then let's talk after." But he was so excited about the work that was happening on stage. And I love that our culture, what we've created, right? There's no barrier there. Let's have a conversation. Right.
Well, I know just from the energy that Austin brings to this conversation that folks are going to want to have a talk back. Like are going, so y'all going to have to, I don't know if you schedule it with every play that you do, but you know, folks are going to want to engage this brother and get into his head about these 13 characters and what we see and what we experience through them. So the 13 characters, give me some understanding and range of who they might be.
Oh my goodness. I think one of them, I play my old high school coach, Dr. Tommy Lindsay Jr. I do want to say, you know, in the play he's passed, but he's still alive. So playing him is always interesting. I play a principal, Principal Betsy. who runs the entire school at Melvin B. Tolson High School. I turn into the four different boys, Pierre, Jabari, Brandon, and Daniel. So the reason why the boys are really interesting to me is I'm also have been and continue to still teach and do summer camps and connect with forensics and teach classes because, you know, I do professor stuff now. I really think that the story's interesting around them because this is where some of my real life blends in. I actually was teaching a class where a boy by the name of Vernon Williams was killed at a school from a shooting. Now, that was not a teacher, but that's a real experience that me and a very close group of people had to deal with and didn't really know how to respond. And I was actually trying to use the activity like just to get your mind off of it, but it doesn't mean that the density ever leaves. And I think the reason why this is important is I think it's unfortunate how some people are looked at as not fragile. And I think this sometimes opens that some people who may deem somebody scary, well, there's so many bad words I don't want to use, but that is a human being that's fragile. So you're seeing that this horrible thing happen to these boys and they're in a system that doesn't necessarily have the tools to help them. And they may not even want to engage with it. We're having a conversation with Dexter, having a good conversation about like, man, I know I went to a school at Logan. There was 5,000 students, but we only had three counselors. How, when something happened, one, if you're brave enough to even go to the office, right? Because who's going to do that? And if they do, are they there? Do you get to go see them again? Or is it just a one-time thing? You probably won't just because the line's so long, right? So you start to think, what tools do young students have to deal with something and help them to navigate it? And I think the connection between those boys in the room is so important. And what I really, really love about the piece, and another thing that Dexter's reminding me in rehearsals is, this boy who passed is very much a presence and character the entire play. So it's how do you, it's that feeling of when somebody's physically gone, but their spirit is kind of still around. And how are these boys interacting with all of their different memories of the same person, how that person touched all of them and how that has affected the entire school. So that is really heavy with me with a lot of the characters. And there's some characters who play like a lot more characters, but I think really the dense one that makes me sink my teeth into that is because also all of these boys are different. You know, sometimes you like to think this is the lesson plan. Every student's going to act like this and everything's going to be the same. No, far from that. Far from that. Everybody's a snowflake. The one thing can happen and four people saw it 10,000 different ways.
That's true.
And they all experienced the same thing. It was right in front of them. But the way that they're going to receive it, the way that they're going to respond, the way that's going to affect them, the way that they move forward is all going to completely be different. So I think within this play, you're seeing the arc of all of these boys, not only growing individually, but they're also growing together and trying to help each other and move around each other and just try to survive. And I think that's where some of the beauty in it comes for me, because those, some of the topic can be heavy and dense, which I think we need to talk about things. I think it also highlights some of the beauties on how to operate and navigate through things that may be difficult. And that there are some tools that you could use. It's not going to take away all of like the storm and all of the pain, but sometimes just a couple of tools to help you get through is a beautiful thing.
All right, Dexter, when does the play open and how long does it run? And have you started selling tickets and are there any tickets left?
Yep. So we tickets are on sale. People know they can get them right through our website, collectiveconsciousnesstheater.org, right from the website. Click on, it'll take you right straight to the link. We also will have tickets available probably at the door. This play is going to be not in our space, but it's going to be in Bregamos.
Yes.
And so we'll be able to accommodate even more people than we usually do in our space. We're excited about that. And it's going to play, starts performances on Friday. And so we got on the 10th. So starts this Friday and Saturday. And then we're back with a full schedule that we usually do next week. So Thursday through Sunday. And then the following week, Thursday through Saturday. And so we've got 10 performances over these next 3 weeks, from the 10th until the 25th. And we've got a couple of matinees in there. We brought matinees back. We have folks who, you know, last show, a couple of people said, where are you? Bring back the matinees from the last production. And so we've got a couple of matinees for folks who might want to come early for an afternoon performance, as well as those evenings. And third, still the same thing. We'll be doing a few talkbacks after the show. We're going to have Pay What You Can Thursdays, the next couple of Thursdays, and then $25 tickets for adults, $15 tickets for students, and Thursday is Pay What You Can, so you can come. And, you know, and generally for us, we don't turn people away. So whether you have, you know, $1 or even less, right, we want to give everybody an opportunity to be able to see the show. So at the door or online. And so we've got, a lot of social media posts and different things out. And there's a few other things. And we thank, you know, folks like you, Bab, to help promote the show. And we hope everybody can come out. I mean, Austin is a real tour de force. And to have somebody, as you can see here, his energy, I always say he's like a firecracker.
Oh, my God, he is. Right? And like, I'm ready to see him perform because he's got so much energy in this, like, morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's like this all the time. So can you imagine? And so it's been great working with him. We have a great energy between us, a great understanding. He reminds me so much of myself as a young performer, artist. You know, we're not too far apart in age, but certainly enough that, you know, I can see myself a little bit in him, you know, a few years ago. And we're excited for people to experience him. He's only here for these short weeks. So hopefully, as many folks as we can come down. Jenny, did I miss anything?
No, you got it. We'll be around town. We're also going to be doing some workshops in the schools, and some Q&A with Austin. So, Austin's been gracious enough to offer that. So we're going to be out and about and, trying to give him a taste of this city, this wonderful city we live in, and we're so excited for people to come out and
see. Make sure you get him some good pizza, because you know New Haven is known for pizza, Austin. So do not leave this city without having at least three of the pizza.
What's your favorite spot?
I'm a little different because I have a dairy allergy. I know I'm in a pizza town. I have a dairy allergy. Oh. There's a couple of pizza places in town that make dairy vegan cheese pizza. So I like Next Door. I like them. I like Delana's. Mm-hmm. I like them. They're a little more artisan, and you know, I really like them. So yeah, so there's a place, but you know, the Trine is Modern, Sally's, Pepe's, Sapardi. I think it's Zanelli's. People like Zanelli's.
Yeah.
There's a couple of places around town. Dexter and Jenny will take you around.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure they have their favorites.
Yeah.
We all do. Yeah. And, and one other thing I want to mention, right, is that this is also a family show. So we encourage families
to come out,
right? And not all of our shows have been family shows, and we're going to be getting back to, we've got a couple things coming up next season as well that are going to be family shows. And so we want to encourage families to bring out, especially young Black boys and young Black girls, to come out with families and then hopefully to discuss all those things that they see in the play. Educators, anybody who's affiliated with, you know, the subject matter, you know, it's something for everybody. So we, for the whole family. And it's very, very funny as well. So we want people to know that too.
Thank you, Dexter and Jenny, for coming through. Austin, it was a delight to meet you. I can't wait to see you in person. I cannot wait to see your performance. And I hope you enjoy our city.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to get New Haven to come on out. You know what I mean?
Oh, listen, they don't have any problems moving tickets. They will sell out every night, and then everybody will be clamoring, how do I get in? How do I get in? Because that's usually how it goes for them. So people will come, and then word of mouth will spread like wildfire, and then it'll be the hottest ticket in town. So... Don't you worry.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Dexter and Jenny. It's good to see y'all. And good luck on the opening. And I will be through there with my peoples, and we'll catch it. So thank y'all. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Babs.
All right. Thank you so much, Babs.
You're welcome. Come, you know, this is your home. Come back anytime. All right, Harry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
See ya. All right, have a good
Take
day.
Care.
Bye.
Bye. Love.